Caleb, appreciate that song this morning. I trust we are waiting to hear and to know God's will, but then beyond that, to do God's will. I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. We're going to begin with the 10th verse. We'll read down through verse number 18. Brother Mike came to me this morning and he says, what's the title to your message? And I don't know. I finally gave him a title, Paul's Final Words of Encouragement. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Apostle Paul here is speaking to fellow believers. He refers to them as brethren. Now, he wasn't just referring to the brethren or the fellow believers there at Ephesus, but I believe he was speaking to you and I. We are his fellow servants as well. And as he does so, he's given us some instructions. He's given us a challenge. But I believe, foremost, he's given us words of encouragement for these last days. He says, for we wrestle. Of course, he adds the word not, because there are certain things we do not wrestle against, but we do wrestle. And all of you here this morning know what it is to wrestle. Anybody here on the wrestling team in high school, college, or anything? Oh, Brother Ron over here, he looks like a good one. We had a couple of boys up in our church in Fort Atkins when I first came there. And I think I'd been there 2 years, and they graduated, and we always recognized the graduating seniors, and these two boys were twins. And they were on the Fort Atkins wrestling team, and they wrestled heavyweight. And they stood up behind me, and I said, anybody want to say anything to me? Their senior year, they had a 40-1 record. And the only loss they had is when they had to wrestle against each other to see which one went to state. But we wrestle. We wrestle. And to wrestle means you want to put somebody on the mat and keep them there for a few seconds that you might be victorious. But Paul here is making an application to the Christian life. It can be at times like a wrestling match. It can be a struggle. We face an opponent who opposes us, opponent who desires to put us on the mat and keep us there for a period of time, an opponent who wants to defeat us. As Paul says, we are opposed by rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. Unless you have been playing the part of an ostrich and have your head in the sand, I'm sure you recognize that's true. recognize the fact that we are in a match. And in light of that truth, I want us to look at three challenges, three words or statements of encouragement that Paul gives us. Paul, as he is speaking here, is like a coach, challenging and encouraging and lifting up his players as they go into the big game. Or he's like the general who's standing before his troops as they're about to enter into a battle. And he's given them that word of encouragement as they face the battle. And so we want to look at three words of encouragement. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the writers of the Word of God that were used of you to put in your word exactly what you wanted. And I pray, dear Father, that you would lead and guide as we look into your word this morning, that we might be encouraged as we continue on in the battle that is set before us, the race that we are to run. And Lord, I pray we'd be encouraged to keep on keeping on. I ask, Lord, you protect my lips that I not speak anything amiss. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The first word that we find Paul giving is in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Be strong. Paul's challenge, Paul's encouragement, as you live for and as you serve the Lord, those times when you face opposition, with those times when you can possibly be discouraged, he says, to be being strengthened. It gives the thought of being empowered, to be enabled. It indicates that you and I, at least in ourselves, have no strength. We have no strength to overcome the opponent that we are facing on a regular basis. And this encouragement comes in the context of the performance of everyday life. You go back to chapter 5 and begin with verse 22 and go on through chapter 6 and verse number 4. And we find that these words of encouragement that the Apostle Paul is given in the context of the duties within the home, within the marriage. And then you begin with chapter 6 and verse 5, and he's saying that these encouragements that he has given is in the everyday workaday world. When you go to your job, when you work at home, wherever it might be, you go to following text, beginning with chapter 6 and verse 19 and verse 20. It's in the context of ministry. And so the encouragement he's given is an encouragement in things that we face on a daily basis. There's that in the home. At times can be a opposition. There can be a struggle. There can be times when you're in your office or you're at your shop or you're out in the field or wherever it might be, that there can be some times of opposition, some times of discouragement. And in the ministry, and every one of us here have a ministry. So often we think of ministry as a person that's standing here in a pulpit or teaching a Sunday school class, but no, everyone here has a ministry. And there can be times of discouragement, and Paul is saying in the midst of these everyday duties, these everyday events that take place in the institutions that we mentioned, that Satan will attack. And he'll try to bring a discouragement, and so Paul says, be strengthened. There will be times we face principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. And the verb that Paul uses here is in the present tense, not in the aorist, showing an encouragement to be maintaining strength. Continue to be strengthened in face of what the future might hold for us. You know, we need to stop and realize that strength has already been given to us. As believers, as he says here, be strong in the Lord. But we need, as believers, to continue relying upon that strength which the Lord gives us on a daily basis. Not to trust in our own strength, but to trust in that strength which he has given us. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, women, children, be strong. Be ye being strengthened is what Paul is challenging us with. Let us continue to rely upon that strength he has already given us. And he says, be strong or be strengthened in the Lord. That is the key to strength. In the Lord. Strength that we have, the strength that we need, is the strength that we have in the Lord. In Philippians, in chapter 4, in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He didn't say, I can do all things in my own self, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Without him, we are helpless. Without him, we are weak. I am weak, but thou art strong. John chapter 15 and verse 1, again, the Lord says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The psalmist Asaph recognized that truth in his own life. In Psalms chapter 73 and verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth. But then there's that little contrasting verb in connection there. But first part of the verse, he says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But God is the strengthening of my heart. Though I am weak, he is strong. You know, this was the encouragement that was given to Joshua. You know the history. God had used Moses to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and through the wilderness, but he was not going to allow Moses to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. That opportunity, that task was given to Joshua. And you can imagine, or at least I can, what it would be like to stand there and I've got all these people behind me. I got the promised land in front of me, and we're supposed to go in and we're supposed to capture and we're supposed to take that inheritance. It was a big task. And yet we find in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Be ye being strengthened is what God was telling to Joshua. Continue in the strength which you already have in me. And we need to learn to do that same thing ourselves. And God said, I'll be with you. I'll be your strength. I'll enable you. And we can take that to our own life as well, to realize that we can continually be strengthened in the tasks that are set before us. It was what encouraged David in a time of distress. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, in verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. You know, I don't know about you, I think I'd be a little distressed too. If I had a bunch of people standing around me going to stone me, I would be distressed. But notice what it goes on to say in that particular verse. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. But, there's that contrasting connection again. But David encouraged himself in his God. is interesting as I looked at that word, encouraged. That word is translated as strong 48 times. It's translated strengthened 28 times. Both of those are more than being translated encouraged. And so in a sense, you could say that David strengthened himself in the Lord. He was strengthened. It was what kept Nehemiah going. Again, Nehemiah had a big task. Coming back to rebuild the walls, he had opposition as he was rebuilding the walls. Yet in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 9, we read, "For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." You know, how often do you and I need to just stop and say, "Lord, strengthen my hands. Give me the strength, the encouragement to keep on keeping on." And as Paul was writing here, Paul was speaking from experience. There was a time that he stood all alone. And yet, at that time, he experienced the presence. He experienced the strengthening of the Lord in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Aren't you glad you have a Lord that stands with us? A Lord that strengthens us. And Paul here was encouraging us, encouraging his fellow soldiers, encouraging you and I, that in the midst of the fight, that we be strengthened. Be strengthened in the Lord. And so his first word of encouragement is be strengthened. His second word of encouragement is be standing. I noticed there was only one of us standing this morning. Maybe we should turn it around, have you all stand and I'll sit down. No, be standing. Now, who are we standing against? Well, he gives us some thoughts there in verse number 12. But, you know, really there are three primary sources of opposition in our lives. Three primary enemies that we need to stand against. Of course, there is the world itself, that system that is all around us, that system that we live within to a great extent, which has eliminated God. They continue to push him out of their lives, out of their schools, out of their governments, and so forth. The second one is the flesh. And every one of us here this morning recognize the power of the flesh, that old nature that opposes us. That old nature that does not please God. And then, of course, there is the devil, the one who is behind the first two. That one who is crafty. He says to stand against the wiles of the devil. In John chapter 10, and in verse 10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy." That is the object of our enemy. That's the object of Satan. He is out to destroy us. He's out to put us on the map, pin us. And we need to stand. As already mentioned, these are formidable foes. They are very active in their opposition. They are very active in their attacks. And all you have to do is watch the evening news or look it up on your computer. And you will find that the foes are very active. We see at that time the philosophies that we are up against. The wickedness in high places. But not just wickedness in high places, but wickedness in all places. Yet in the face of these, we are encouraged to be standing. And Paul was simply saying, there's no time to retreat. The thoughts of the passage The key word, stand, is not a march. It is not an assault, but rather it's a holding of the fort, holding of the church for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a definite, conscientious stand. The challenge is not to abandon our post, but to prepare it for the next assault, knowing it's going to come. It's not a question if it's going to come, it's when. And in verse 13, he says that we need to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, to resist that one who is against us. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9, but be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But if he said, who resist, stand against, hold your post. You know, it is not for us as believers to attack Satan, to make an advancement against him, but rather to hold on and protect the territory that the Lord has already given us. Well, I'm not saying we ought not to fight against Satan. We ought to. But where is this battle taking place? He mentions again in verse number 12. You know, I don't believe that this battle is necessarily down on State Street in Madison on Saturday night when they're doing all the partying and carousing. I don't think it's necessarily in the halls of the U.S. Senate or the U.S. Congress. Now, there's no doubt there are some battles there. There are some forts to be held there. But I believe the strongest battles are taking place in the New Testament Bible-believing churches that are holding to the truth. I believe some of the strongest battles are taking place in the homes, are taking place in marriages. Satan and his cohorts would want nothing more than to see God's called preachers, God's faithful believers, become discouraged, to compromise the truth, to give up the fight. And I believe that Satan would like to know more than to take over this pulpit. And it's sad to say, I'm afraid he's taken over too many pulpits already. And we need to stand. We need to hold the line. Paul's challenge, encouragement, is as important today as it was in the day that Paul wrote this letter. Stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all, to stand. I enjoy sports. I had the privilege of playing sports in high school. But you can go to a football game, and often you will hear the crowd there stand up and begin to shout, hold that line, hold that line. They're trying to encourage their defense to not allow the opponent to gain any more yardage. And I believe the Apostle Paul is saying to you and I, hold that line. Be encouraged. Don't let Satan get any more yardage. And as believers, as we sit in the pew, we need to be encouraging the pastor to hold the line. And pastors need to be encouraging the faithful in the pew to hold that line, to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's a team effort. We stand hand in hand, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Not giving place to the devil, as he mentions there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. So his words of encouragement to you and I is to be being strengthened, to be standing. And then thirdly, to be suiting up, to be suiting up. Look at verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me encourage you to underline a word in that verse. The word whole. You know, Goliath put on his armor, but he neglected to put on armor that covered his forehead, and he fell flat on his face. Put on the whole armor of God. That is putting on both the defensive and the offensive armor of God. When I played football in high school, before every practice, before every game, I would put on the entire uniform. I would not think of entering into that practice. I would not think of entering into that game and leaving my helmet in the locker room. In fact, I wouldn't even think of leaving the chin strap from the helmet in the locker room. We had these little thigh pads, just small little things, that went into the pant legs. You know, I wouldn't think of leaving those behind. And here Paul said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That phrase is only used one other time. That word, that panoplia, is only used one other time in the Bible, in Luke chapter 11 and verse 22. And there is translated all his armor. You know, you and I need a divine safeguard in our life. We need to have that strengthening in the Lord. And when we put on the whole armor of God, in essence, we are putting on Christ. As you go down through that list of pieces of the armor, and you can relate each one of them to Christ himself. He is our strength in John chapter 14 and verse 6. He is our righteousness in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. And you know, it is important that we have the proper shoes. You know, I was thankful for the combat boots that they gave me. I might have been just lucky, but I actually was given a pair that fit me. In fact, two pairs that fit me. And they were comfortable. And they were very profitable. You know, I have to commend you women. You put on shoes. Your toes are touching the ground. Your heels are about 5 or 6 inches up in the air. And you seem to be able to progress forward. I guess it gives you an advantage because you're always walking downhill. But the proper shoes, having your feet shod with the gospel of peace, and the Lord is our peace. The gospel that enables us to stand, to resist, that can give us peace. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then after suiting up, having put in on all the pieces of the armor, we need to reach down and we need to pick up our shield of faith. And who is our faith? Christ is the very object, or he needs to be the object of our faith. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul is speaking of a living faith. And of course, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But it's a faith that has its object, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, one of Satan's tricks, one of his wiles, is to attack the mind. the thought process. You know, almost every sin, and I would dare say every sin, begins with a thought. And if he can get our thinking going in the wrong direction, he can get us going in the wrong direction. What did he do to Eve? He got her to thinking that God has withheld something from them that they needed, that they would enjoy. And as a result of that, the human race was cast into sin. What we allow ourselves to think upon makes a difference in the direction that we will go. And what causes us to think about different things? What we read, what we watch on TV, many of those things. But the wise man, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he, to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Paul has given a number of defensive weapons that we need, that we might be able to be strengthened, that we might be able to stand. Weapons, putting on the whole armor of God, but we also need offensive weapons as well. Sometimes we just need to go on the offense. And in a sense, these offensive weapons are also defensive weapons. He says to take the sword of the Spirit. You know, our Bible is often referred to as the sword. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God is living. The word of God is powerful. And like a physical sword, I'll never forget my oldest brother, World War II, served in the Philippines, came home in the middle of the night, and he had brought home two souvenirs, a Japanese pistol and a Japanese sword. I was sound asleep, so was my brother. You know, the sharp point of a sword can wake you up pretty fast. It can pierce. And you know, just as a physical sword can pierce, so can the spiritual sword, the word of God. But it pierces for a different purpose. Normally, the piercing of a physical sword is to destroy, to kill. But the piercing of the spiritual sword, the word of God, can cause a wound that brings about a healing. A few years ago, I'd gotten to the point where I could hardly climb the steps to stand behind the pulpit. Back pain was so terrible. Went to a doctor, and he said what he told my wife and I, and pastor was with us, and what he was going to do, and I had some hesitation. And pastor says, "Hey, it's straightforward, just go for it." You know, he pierced my back to eliminate the problem and enable me to run around, climb stairs, climb ladders today. You know, that's what the word of God does. It pierces. It makes a cut for the purpose of bringing about a healing, enabling us to be strengthened, enabling us to stand. You know, he also gives an offensive weapon of prayer. Probably one of the two weapons, both of them very important, the Bible and prayer. You think back to when Israel was battling against the Amalekites. Joshua was down there in the valley leading the troops against the enemy. But where was Moses? He's up in the mountainside praying. I don't believe Joshua would have had any success if it wouldn't have been for Moses praying. But Joshua had to be down there fighting. You know, as we're in the battle, we need to be encouraged not only to be battling, but we need to be encouraged and praying one for another. In fact, he says here, for all saints. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be standing, that you might be strengthened, that you might withstand in the face of the opposition. Verses 10 and 11, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Who am I looking to for my strength? Who are you looking to this morning for your strength? Where are you going to find the ability to stand against the wiles of the devil? Am I looking to myself? Or am I being strong in the Lord? Am I standing in the power of his might? Dear friends, there's a battle. There's some opposition. But God can give the victory. Stand in the strength of the Lord. Let's pray. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of encouragement that the Apostle Paul has given to us through the leading of the Spirit of God. Words of encouragement that we need today, as we stand against the wiles of the devil. As Paul wrote in another portion of Scripture, he said things are going to wax worse and worse. That's true. There's going to be opposition. It's not if there's going to be, but when does it come? And I pray that each one of us would be encouraged to be standing in the power of the Lord, to be being strengthened, be putting on the whole armor of God. Thank you for dear folk who are using the offensive weapon of the Bible. They're using that offensive weapon of prayer. For without him, we can do nothing. And I trust that we will, on a daily basis, be praying one for another, praying that the Lord would continue strengthening us, enabling us to stand as we put on the whole armor of God. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, as you think of the words of encouragement that the Apostle Paul has given us, who are you looking for this morning to give you that strength? Where are you searching to get the enablement to stand in the evil day? Are you putting on the whole armor of God? Possibly you're here this morning, you slip up your hand, and with that gesture you'd be saying, Pastor, would you pray along for me, along with me? I've been looking in the wrong place. I've been trying to pin the enemy on my own strength. But this morning, I'm just going to give it over to the Lord. Let him be my strength. You slip up your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray along with me, that I would look to the Lord for my strengthening? Yes. Yes. Anyone else this morning? I certainly have not been preaching a gospel message. But the Lord is in the soul-saving business. If you're here without Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's never been a time when you recognized your need and you turned to Him. But today would be that day of salvation for you. Maybe you're here and you just slip up your hand, and by that gesture you'd be saying, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I left this life today I'd be able to go in the presence of the Lord, but I'm concerned enough about it, I'd at least like you to pray for me. Anyone at all? Slip up your hand, put it back down. Dear gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the hands that were raised this morning. You know what is behind the raised hand. And I pray, God, and in a very definite way, you would meet the need. May you have your will and your way in each of our lives, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.